Okay. Well, most of us will know that, excuse me, it's all the singing, that we've just had 3 weeks of talking about life is a garden. And I said to Jeff, do you know, I think there's two more areas that we need to cover in this series. And, you know, when you feel like God dropped something in your heart, then you just can't keep quiet and you've got to share. So I don't normally do this, but I just felt this is right. We need to do this. So the area that we're going to look at this week is how to have good ground. Because Jeff's been talking about sowing and reaping and the importance, actually, of how our ground is good. So we're going to look at that scripture that Jeff shared, which is Galatians 6, verse 7 to 8. So it says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to the flesh will reap to the flesh corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And I love that last little bit because that's such a promise to us that actually, let's not get weary. He's encouraging us, don't get weary in well-doing because you will reap. There is a promise that you will reap. But the key is we mustn't get weary in well-doing. So Jesus often used pictures of a farmer in the Bible. There was lots of, you know, using the whole illustration of a farmer and seeds. And so I want us to have a little look at a farmer. Now, I'm not a farmer, so I've just looked on Google at things that the farmer needs to do. And there's certain things he has to do before he puts seed into his ground. He needs to dig over the ground. He needs to remove stones. He needs to remove weeds. And he needs to put organic matter onto the ground. So I want to look at this spiritually, because that's why Jesus did the parables, because there would be a principle, spiritual principle, behind the natural realm. You see, God desires for all of us to have good hearts, soft hearts, hearts where his word can go in and actually produce what he wants his word to produce, what it's meant to produce. And, you know, in this parable of the sower, God reveals how we're to have good heart. Now, he reveals it in a way that actually saying, these are the things you need to take out of your heart because they're the things that will restrict you from receiving what God really wants. So, again, we're going to look at Luke 8, verse 4 to 8. And when a great multitude had gathered and they had come to him from every city, he spoke by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell among the wayside. And it was trampled down and the birds of the air devoured it. Some fell on the rock. And as soon as it sprang up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns. And the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. But others fell on good ground, sprang up, yielded a crop 100-fold. When he had said these things, he said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. And I want to focus on that a little bit as well. Because he said, he who has ears to hear, we all have ears. But do we have spiritual ears? Are we listening with our spiritual ears? Because that's where we will really hear the truth of God. So firstly, we have to prepare the ground of our hearts. You know, it's the ground of our hearts where the seed of God's word will go. And we need to do the first thing, which is what the farmer did. He had to dig over his ground. When he bought the field, he had to dig over that ground because it's in digging over the ground that would reveal certain things underneath. So we need to honestly go before God and say, God, I want to dig over my ground of my heart. Because this isn't something that you do once. This is something you have to do over and over again in your heart, because we live life and we may deal with situations in our lives 1 week and the next week someone upsets us and we've got that error that we need to deal with. So we need to dig over the area of our hearts, have a good look, allow the Holy Spirit to reveal anything in our hearts that needs to be removed. You know, Psalm 139, verse 23, it says, search me, O God, and know my heart. try me and know my anxieties, and see if there's any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting. Do you know David there? He's so honest before God. And he says, God, just search my heart. If I've got wrong in my heart, search me. Look into my heart and reveal, and then lead me in the right way. You know, the Bible talks about David as being a man after God's own heart. He loved God with every fiber of his being. But even David said, search me, God, because I need to have a good heart. I need to have a heart that is just so soft before you that you can do whatever you want to do in my life. So as we look at this parable, the first area that it talks about is the wayside. And it says, and I'm going to, see, I've read the bit that Jesus told the parable. Now I'm going to go to the bit where the disciples went to him and said, what does this mean? So he explained it. And this is what he says about the wayside in verse 12. It says, those by the wayside are the ones who hear, then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. You know, these are the people that don't know God yet. Those people on the wayside. You know, the Bible talks about Jesus is the way. They're on the side. It's that wayside. You know, they hear the word, but it doesn't do anything. It's not getting into them. It's not affecting them at all. You know, how many of us have shared the gospel with people, and it's like it just goes right over them. They're not hearing it. But you know, that is our responsibility. Because actually, when you speak into someone and share the gospel, even if it's just little seeds of God's love, and it's continuing to do that, and then it's praying that someone else will go to that person that doesn't know God and share the love of God. And it's when that they hear, and they hear, and they hear, and then it slowly starts to drop in. And when we pray, God, open their hearts, because they need to know you. Open the ears of their spiritual, you know, heart, so they hear you. See, that's our responsibility, because they need to be ready to be able to receive the word of God. But now we're going to look at us. So the first thing that Jesus talks about is the stones and the rocks. And I wonder what that represents for us. You know, we know that, we'll put it this way, we've got a garden, and it's been quite a lot of hard work in our garden. We love our garden, but it's been a lot of hard work. And there, we've had a lot of clay in our garden, but we've also had a lot of stones as well. And there's one section I remember I was digging over, and I thought, wow, there is so many stones in this area. But you see, if we don't get rid of those stones, those roots can't go down. When I plant something, those roots are going to hit the stone. And if it's so many stones, it's just not going to grow the way they're meant to. But likewise, in our hearts, when we look at this spiritually, have we got hard areas? Because stones represent hard areas. Have we got hard areas in our hearts that actually God's saying, you know, I want you to let go of those. I want you to deal with those things. Because we want to have good hearts, don't we? We want to have hearts that will allow the fruit of God to grow through us. And again, in the same chapter, in verse 13, Jesus says, and he explains, but the ones on the rocks are those, when they hear the word, they receive the word with joy. And these have no root, who believe for a while, and in time of temptation, they fall away. So it says here, they hear the word. It's not like they're not hearing the word. They hear it. And even with joy, it's like, wow, this is good stuff. I like this. This is good. What is good news, what I'm hearing. But because they don't have roots, they're not able to get the life to be able to grow. Nothing comes of it. And they fall away. You know, we need very much to get rid of those hard areas of our lives. You know, and it just could be as simple as we've got an attitude with a certain person, or, you know, someone's offended us, or, you know, I don't want to forgive in that area, or I've been so disappointed and let down that actually there's that not opening our hearts up to allow God to do what he wants to do. You know, in Ephesians 3, verse 17, it talks about that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. I mean, that, just is so clear of what the Bible is saying. He wants us rooted and grounded in him. Those roots where our roots go down and they hold on. You know, in those times of temptation, we won't be like those ones that fall away. In those times of temptation, we hold on because our roots are in Christ Jesus. And then it goes on to say that you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Do you know, to know the love of Christ? We were talking about this, weren't we? That it passes knowledge. That means it's not something you can even think of, comprehend. It's a love that just overwhelms you. It's a love that is so deep. But God wants us to be so rooted in him that we experience that. We know what that feels like. I'm sure many of us here have had times where we spent with God and you just get that overwhelming sense of his presence come all over you. And you just, your heart melts. You just think, God, you're so good. You're so good. But he wants us to experience this. This is what he wants. But we've got to get rid of those things in our lives, those stony places, those rocks. We've got to remove them from our lives so we can put our roots down, because they will prevent us from doing that if we don't. Then the next one is we need to check our hearts for weeds. Now, the definition for weeds is a plant that is not valued where it's growing and is usually of vigorous growth. Weeds tend to overgrow or choke out more desirable plants. Doesn't that sound like the enemy? Because the enemy is out there to rob everything that God tries to put in our lives. Weeds will contend for nutrients, light, space, and soil moisture. So we've got to get rid of those weeds, those things that are in our lives that aren't good. And in Luke 8, verse 14, this is what Jesus says. He says, now the ones that fell among the thorns are those who, when they have heard, they go out and are choked with the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and they bring no fruit to maturity. So this shows actually how important to get rid of those weeds are, because it says the fruit will never grow. It says it brings no maturity to the fruit. It's no good for anything. You know, I've got tomato plants in my garden. And, if I don't look after those, the fruit's just not going to grow. You know, if I don't water it, I don't do this, I don't do that, the fruit's just going to not develop properly, and it's going to be wasted. The plant's going to be wasted. God desires us to get rid of those weeds. You know, it talks about the riches. You know, we can so easily in this life be so caught up with riches. I need this, I need that. You know, I've got to work all hours under the sun just to have this, or, you know, whatever that looks like. It could be pleasures. It could be that actually those pleasures are not actually bad things. You know, probably a good amount of us have got hobbies, things that we love to do. Those things aren't wrong unless they're in the wrong place, unless they take over and actually don't allow space for God. And it talks about the cares. You know, we live in this world. There are cares in this world. There are situations we all face that, you know, we care about and actually can cause us to be concerned. But actually, in Matthew 6, verse 33, it says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added. So God's not saying, I want to take everything from you. I don't want you to enjoy pleasant things and lovely things. I just want you, everything focused on me. No, God made us to enjoy life. He gave us a life that was meant to be abundant. But those things are meant to have their place. And God is saying that when we seek him first, all these things will be added unto us. You know, the times that we've seen God answer prayer for us, he's provided for us in ways that have amazed us. And actually, we haven't even prayed. It's just a conversation that we've had. And yet God has met our need. God has, you know, provided for us. And things that weren't even needs, they were just things we desired. But he provided because he loves us so much. And when we give to him, you can't outgive God. So when you give to God of yourself, He will make sure that you have back everything that you need. But I love the couple of verses before that, and it was a few years ago that I read this, and how I read it, it was like the Lord was just showing me something that, I was hearing it, how he was thinking it. And then it says, just a few verses before, seek first the kingdom of God. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For all these things the Gentiles seek. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Don't worry. And it almost came across, don't seek after these things. Don't be so wrapped up in them that actually they rob you of your life with God in the fullness that he wants you to have. You know, he knows the things we need in life. And what's so beautiful for here is it says, your heavenly Father. He's talking about our heavenly Father. He knows the things we need. He knows how to get them to us. And he doesn't want us to be choked with the cares, you know, these weeds, these things in our lives that will choke and suffocate us. And it's actually the word of God that will be suffocated from our lives. So spiritual weeds are things that choke out spiritual fruit. And Galatians 5 verse 19 really explains a whole list of stuff that is things that will choke out. And, you know, we'll have our own areas, but it's these as well. So it says, when we follow the desires of our sinful nature, the result are very clear. So when we follow after sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and any other sin like these. So he's saying, any other sin like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living like this sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. But, and now when you've asked Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, he puts the fruit of his Spirit in our lives. And it says here, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there's no law. And you know, we can go through life, we can have situations where, for instance, if me and Jeff were about to have words with each other, we got a choice. So I got a choice, I can have a good old go back at him, or I can allow the fruit of the Spirit, which is patience, kindness, gentleness, to come through and respond to him lovingly, which I do every time, don't I? Try. But actually, God has put this in us, the fruit of the Spirit, because he knows that we can draw on it. This is something he's placed. It's like a well of all this goodness inside us that he's put inside us to draw on in times when weeds will try and choke. And we have to pull those out and say, I'm not going that way. I'm not going to respond that way. I'm going to allow the fruit of the Holy Spirit to move through my life. When we allow the fruit of the Holy Spirit to flow through our lives, do you know what that does? It produces good ground, because it's feeding our ground. It's giving our ground everything it needs for the word of God to come through. You know, Jeremiah 4:3, it says, for thus says the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up the fallow ground and do not sow amongst the thorns. He said, don't sow where there's thorns and where there's weeds, because if you sow where there's thorns and weeds, it's going to choke the word of God from your life. And, you know, our aim as Christians is to not have those things in our life. Our aim is to allow the word of God to come. You know, this word should be everything to us. You know, we read the word of God, and sometimes we can read the word of God because we think, right, this is the right thing to do, I need to do this. But actually, you know, the Bible talks about that the word of God is like bread to our spirit. It feeds us. And we naturally will eat food every day, unless we're fasting, but, you know, most of the time we're eating every day. And actually, if we don't eat, if any of you are like me, if I miss a meal, I will go into shakes. It's like, I need food. But actually, I'd like to think that our hearts would be like that. When we miss a time with the Lord, it's like we're feeling it. It's like, no, I need my time with God. Because the Word of God is what gives us the strength and the life and everything we need for this life. Everything in this Word caters for this world that we live in. And He will give us the strength and the ability to face life in a victorious way when we feed on His Word. And this isn't one that is down in the parable, but this is one that I looked up that the farmer has to have. And he adds organic matter, which is nutrients. It feeds the soil. It gives soil health, and it helps hold water in, and it also controls erosion. You know, spiritually, organic matter is the Word of God. That's what will create healthy ground for our lives. And the importance of getting the Word of God in our lives, you know, to create that healthy ground. Do you know why? Why do we do it? Why? So that when the ground of our heart is good and we suddenly need, we're faced with a situation. Maybe you've got a loved one that you're praying for that, you know, is in desperate need. But if we're just praying and there's no words basis for it, there's nothing that you're holding on from the Word, or you're trying to hold on to it, but there's weeds and there's stones in there, and you just don't have the confidence that you should have, because God says He wants us grounded. And when you're grounded, you know that you know, you have confidence. I know God's going to come through me with this situation. I know I can pray the Word of God and He will come through. I know that as I speak what He has said. See, the Bible is inspired by God. It's His Word. So when we remind Him of His Word, which is what He told us to do, it will produce the things that it's sent for, but it gives us the confidence when our hearts are grounded in Him and our hearts are good ground. In Proverbs 4, verse 20, you know, we all know this one. It's a beautiful scripture. It says, "My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ears to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them, and health to all their flesh." You know, it talks about the ear, it talks about the eyes, and it talks about the heart. You know, we hear the Word of God, we read the Word of God, and we've got to allow it to settle into our hearts, because it will be life to us. Literally, sometimes with people, in some situations, can literally be life. You know, there was a situation the other day, and actually this is just sort of connected this with that. Each day we thank God for our protection and safety. And I'd gone to the shops and I was in quite a hurry. And I was waiting at the traffic lights. And you know when you're on your edge, like when are the cars? And I said, what? I was too impatient to wait for the traffic lights to stop. And it's like, I'm waiting. Oh, I can go. But as soon as I put my foot on the road, there was a car. And it shocked me that I hadn't seen it. And the traffic lights was there and I just had not seen that car. And I went home and I said to you, I know God had His hand upon me. I know He kept me safe, you know? And the Word of God will keep us safe. It has everything in it to keep us safe in this life. This life chucks rubbish at us daily. But God's Word is strong enough to protect us. When we're rooted and we're grounded in Him, when we have hearts that are free from weeds and stones and those things that will rob us. And then Proverbs 6, verse 20, it says, and this is, I love this. When I first read this scripture, I thought, oh, this is a beautiful scripture. It says, "My son, keep your father's commandments and do not forsake the law of your mother. Bind them continually upon your heart. Tie them around your neck. When you roam, they will lead you. When you sleep, they will keep you. And when you awake, they will speak to you." How beautiful is that? When we keep the Word of God, it says that when we roam, in other words, when you're roaming, it's almost that element of you're not quite sure where you're going, you're just roaming around, and it's like the Word of God will bring you into that place where He'll keep you safe. He will lead you onto that path. No, no, come on, this way, and he'll lead you and direct you. It says he'll keep us while we sleep. And then it says, when you wake up in the morning, and I want this, I really want this. When you wake up in the morning, it will speak to you. To have the word of God going through your heart where the Holy Spirit is wanting to say something into your lives. When you first wake up, it's beautiful. But God has promised this in his word. This is what he's saying he wants to do for each one of us. He wants our hearts to be grounded. And as I say, we can do this today, but we may need to do it in a month's time. It's a thing that it's a journey of life. It's always keeping our hearts free of those things. You know, we've weeded our garden numerous times. If we had been able to just weed our garden once and not have to worry about it again, that would have been brilliant. But within no time at all, weeds creep back up again and we've got to shift them out. But it's the same with our spiritual world, our spiritual life. We have to keep a check on our hearts and make sure those things are out of our lives. In fact, the better way is don't let them settle. Don't let those things near your life. Say, God, put a protection upon my heart. I want it to be good ground. And keep my heart, because the Bible says to keep a heart with all diligence. So let's be willing to pray that prayer of David. Search me, Lord, and know me. And if there's any wicked way, take it from me. Let's remove those stones. Let's remove those weeds. Let's feed on God's word, which is our life source. And so we then can be like Luke 8, verse 15, which is what Jesus said about the good sower. It said, but the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. They bear the fruit. You know what you're believing God for, what you're expecting, what you're trusting him for. You will bear the fruit of those things. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you that, Lord, you have given us all we need for this life. I thank you, Father God, that you have shown us how to keep the hearts of our lives, Lord, free from rubbish. And I just pray, Lord God, that each one of us will really search our hearts and know, Lord God, that as we dig around in our hearts and we say, Holy Spirit, just reveal to us any area that is wrong. Highlight those areas. Father, I thank you that you are a gentle God, that you're not just going to rip them out. You're not just going to, you know, condemn us for any of it. Lord, you love us through it. And Father, your desire is us to be free from it. And I thank you, you will give us the ability and the strength to remove those things, to put them aside and say, no more. I'm not going to have that anymore. Father God, to allow the fruit of your Holy Spirit to flow through us. So, Father, that the ground of each of our hearts will be ready for your word, will be ready for those things that you desire for us, the seeds of your word, Lord, that will grow and produce fruit. Father, I just thank you, you're a faithful God. And I thank you that you've put every promise, everything we need in your word, it's there, Father God, for us. And I give you praise because you're a good God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.